Today is a sphere day. They're going through their contact list from A to Z. No skips. One agent texts her ex-boyfriend because he's in the list and there's no skips. So literally she was like, hey, I don't know if you know, but I sell real estate. And if you know anyone looking to buy or sell, she was like, what do you say to somebody who ghosted you? And I was like, tell him that even ghosts need houses to haunt. So like you have to just reach out. And we've had success with it already. We've already had somebody who say, you know what, I'm not happy with the current agent I'm using. Can we get together?
Welcome to the Top Broker Podcast, where we have on top producing real estate agents from around the country and learn what separates them from the rest. I'm your host, Phil Wells. Today we have on Courtney Hatfield from Akron, Ohio. Okay, let's get into it. Courtney Hatfield is an inspiration to any newly licensed agent. She runs Your Home Court team in Akron, Ohio, working for her brokerage, McDowell Homes. In 2020, she did 30 transactions as a solo agent. 2021, 70 transactions with a few new team members. And in 2022, 157 transactions, more than doubling her transaction count each subsequent year. She has grown her team from herself to 8 and is now in the top 2% of the realtors in the MLS, only a few years into her career. She's won the Pinnacle of Performance Award for her brokerage in 2022. Even with a modest average transaction size of around $200,000, she has still done more production than 98% of agents around the country. Courtney focuses on the sphere of influence marketing with social media, and she's also a master of design and staging. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That was so nice. That was such a nice introduction.
Well, I think you really earned it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that greatly. It's so cool to see and to have people recognize, you know, it's a lot of work to have a team and it's a lot of work to be an agent. So to just to have people recognize and say, like, the growth looks good on you. It feels good. Thank you.
From the outside, it looks like everything's happening so easily. And I think that it's good to present that kind of that kind of winner, you know, mentality and attitude. But, you know, it isn't always so easy, is it?
No, it's definitely a grind and you're on call 24/7. It's a very demanding career, very rewarding career. But yeah.
Well, I definitely want to ask you about, you know, work-life balance and that sort of thing too. But I think it's always good to start from the beginning and have our listeners hear how you got your start. And I think it's such an inspiration. So I'd like to hear it, you know, in as much detail as you can give us.
Absolutely. So I got my license in 2018 and I was actually working for a family brokerage at the time. My in-laws have a brokerage that they owned. And I was only licensed for a year when my husband's uncle passed away and he was the broker. So I was kind of put up against a wall where, you know, it's a hard time, but I needed to figure out what I was going to do work-wise and where I was going to go. And I ended up finding McDowell Homes via Instagram and joining their brokerage. They, at that point, had only been open 5 years, but it was, I liked the culture of it. It was unlike anything else I had come across, you know, brokerage-wise. And the support has just been unmatched. And so from there, I joined McDowell and I was a solo agent. And then in 2020, I launched my team. And we've grown. We started with 3 agents and now we have 7 and I have 2 that are taking classes right now.
Wow. And so how did you decide on the first couple of agents to add to your team?
My theory about adding agents was always I wanted it to be very natural. So I didn't go out and recruit for agents. I just pretty much was like, if they come to me and if we meet up and it seems like we fit well, then we'll try it out. And honestly, I really don't have any turnover on the team so far, knock on wood. We just have, everybody's really a hardworking agent and just a good person. I feel very blessed to have the people that I have.
That's great. And when you hit the ground running, it seems like you caught on pretty quick. How did you get your first clients?
So a lot of my first clients were leads that were provided by my brokerage. And I just really became their friend. I think people want to buy with a friend. They want to shop for houses with a friend. So I just was myself when we met. You know, I know a lot of agents, and I'm not saying this in any way, whatever works for them, but a lot of agents put on the show, drive the fancy car, show up in their, you know, fancy outfits and like toddle in and show houses. Or you've got me who's like, oh, can you show us this house at 5? And I'm like coming from the gym, you know, and I'm in my gym outfit. And I'm like, sure, but I look like I'm coming from the gym. And I'm just who I am. And we just really began to bond. And then the referrals started to snowball from there. Does that make sense? I feel like I said that weird.
No, that really does make sense.
Being your authentic self is how so I started with leads, and then I just built those relationships by being me. And and then I just began getting referrals, and I really started hammering onto social media marketing. And that is the majority of my personal business is social media marketing now.
That's really interesting to hear. I feel like a lot of agents know that they should be doing social media. They're not actually getting business from it. And it's a little bit of a scattershot approach. So I'd love to hear, you know, more about your social media marketing, really all things social media from Courtney, because I follow you and I really like what you're doing, but you make it seem really easy, but you know, I'm just kind of curious what your approach is.
In my social media, I still try to be very authentic. You're not going to see me posting like house, sold. Like nobody cares, you know, the occasional sold sign and you're showing this amazing house and whatever, but sprinkle in your personal life too. And so they see, you know, I have kids, or I like to go to Starbucks, or I like, you know, to travel, and we go to Disney a lot. And I like to sprinkle in bits and pieces of who I am. So they feel like they know me, they feel like I'm their friend. So when they follow me and then they decide to use me, they're like, oh, how was your last trip to Disney? You know, and you have that easy communication and conversation. I think really with social media, consistency is key. And that's the hardest thing people struggle with, is seeing, okay, I posted, it didn't get, you know, the interaction that I wanted, and it's discouraging. But you just have to continue. You don't get water the same day you dig the well. You have to just continue posting and show up and show up and show up. Even if you're on your couch eating a pizza, you could be posting a picture of the house in your story that you showed, you know, the day before. And people think you're out and about, and it's really just the perception they have of you, when really you're just like watching The Bachelor and slamming a piece of pizza.
Yeah. Well, I do like your early morning Starbucks runs. Yes. I don't know what it is, but somehow it is just, you know, I see it and I say, oh, you know, that's what Courtney's doing. And, you know, I feel like I know you more than I know you. You know, this is really the first, you know, one of the first times that we're talking. And I do feel as if just, you know, or I see you with your kids, or I see, you know, that you did that polar plunge. Like that was cool.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it yet, but you have a social media marketing course, or can you talk about that?
Yeah, which I will give you if you want for free. I'll email it to anybody. And it's just pretty much my 5 guidelines of how to approach social media. That social media is your friend. It's your handshake to your consumer. And it goes beyond real estate. No matter what you're selling, your face is your brand. So you need to get yourself out there. You need to get yourself known. And just by being consistent, honestly, people respond to pictures of pets and faces more than they respond to anything else. So if you sold a house, take a picture with your face in front of the house. Make a reel with you in front of the house. Go live with you in front of the house. People want to see you out in the field.
I was always a little bit nervous to, you know, I don't know why, but you think, oh, I'm not going to look good or whatever. I did a funny one with me opening this big window, and it got like way more engagement than any of my other posts do.
Yeah.
If people want the 5, your social media, I think, give them your email so that they can reach out.
Yeah. My email is CourtneyHatfield@mcdhomes.com. And okay, I'll send you the 5 steps, the pamphlet that I have, and then I'll also send you a blank content calendar. Because my biggest thing is rotate those 5 things that I give you to post, rotate those. And you can plan it out. You can plan, you know, if you want to post a picture of you I post, okay, so my five things are I post quotes, I post a picture of my face, I post a picture of my kids, I post testimonials, and then I post a house business. And whether it's, you know, us at the Polar Plunge jumping in and raising money for charity, or it's us in front of a billboard we just had put up, I make the work posts don't just have to be houses. They can be anything team oriented, just to show we're out in the community and we are active.
It's so, sometimes it's really intimidating because you think, oh, I have to get better on video. I have to do this. I have to post so much more. And really, if you just do one or two things to improve it and then get comfortable with it and make another step forward, it can make a huge yeah. difference.
Something, anything is better than nothing, in my opinion. I mean, truly just showing up and being consistent. In my stories, you'll notice every day I just kind of post what I'm doing and put a time. I just put that little clock and it's like, okay, well, throughout the day I went here, here, and here. You know, you'll see I'm at Starbucks at 8 and then I'm at the office at 9 and then I'm doing a meeting at 11. And I just chronologically post my day in my stories. And people feel, they'll be like, what? No Starbucks today? You know, and message me and people feel like they know you. And I'm like, you're Joe Schmo from Idaho. Like, how do you know? You know?
Yeah.
What
I'm doing? Yeah.
But absolutely. They follow and they want to know.
Yeah. It's, I think something about the timestamp makes it seem like you're very diligent, or like that you're on your calendar. Something about that. I do really like that. So anyway, that's great. Let's see. I wanted you to talk about, you've kind of carried this on sort of authentic brand into your like physical mailings and, yes. you know, pitch packages and that sort of thing. I think a lot of agents have their, you know, they're buttoned up, you know,
right.
suit and tie, very professional, very kind of stiff.
Wrong with that. But you expect that, I think, from an agent or even from a salesperson, like you expect that from a car salesman. And just by really being who you are and not being afraid to go out of the box, I've never had any negative feedback that I know of from doing weird marketing. I've never had anything negative, but what it is memorable.
Can you show us a weird marketing piece that you have?
Oh yeah. Let me see if I've got one right here. I think I do. I save one of every postcard we've ever sent out. Probably one of my favorites. Well, like this is fun. The seller's market's popping. And like I'm wearing a popcorn dress and popcorn earrings.
Oh, I see the popcorn. That's great.
Yeah. And you can see I have like a popcorn earring in. And it just says, the seller's market is popping. We're here to help. My team closes one home for top dollar every 5 days. That home could be yours. And there's just popcorn all over it. And so we'll send those out and then we'll also do pop buys with those and attach it to like a bag of popcorn. Just like random things. And some of the social media stuff that we do, we did this one, The Real Housewives of Akron. And it was just funny because we had, you know, like the housewives music playing and everybody had, I don't know, like a slogan that they said. I'd have to play it back to remember. It was about a year ago, but that got so much interaction online and just being funny and clever and who we are and out of the box, and people then expect that and enjoy that.
So trying to have fun, trying not to have as much of a filter or worry. Oh, is this, you know, that. Yeah. I really like that approach. And I think that's, it's connecting.
Yeah. People are so worried, like what other people are going to think, but why? I mean, genuinely, why are they paying your bills? Like if they're going to remember me, cause I dropped off a bag of popcorn with like the market's popping, fantastic. I want them to remember me.
So you're great, you know, on social media and everything. How do you get your team members, to follow in your footsteps? Is there anything that you do to kind of teach them the ways?
Well, I can suggest things, but one thing that we're doing right now is we are having a contest. So whoever goes and shows the most houses is going to get a $250 gas card. And how they're going to do that is they need to be at the house, take a story in Instagram or Facebook, and share it that they're there and tag me. And so it's just been interesting to see as this contest unfolds, like who's where, how many people are actually out, like actually showing. And I am blessed because I do have a team of top producing agents, but it's definitely interesting to see like who's running around more.
That's fun. And it also helps get them in the habit of tagging and, you know, and posting.
Yeah. I don't know how much they like being on TikToks and Reels. I don't think they do, but on our meetings, I always try and film a few TikToks or Reels and cross post those. So like today, everybody's out calling their sphere right now. Well, we started this thing called the deal wall. And anytime they close a deal, they sign the deal wall. So I'm going to film a few deal wall signings in a little bit. And then I'm going to do a few different reels that I've had saved, different ideas I've had saved. And they're good champs about it.
So what's your Instagram handle and what's your TikTok handle? I think everyone should go follow you.
They're both the same. It's CourtneyHatfield.realtor. And TikTok's funny because I posted just a random video once and suddenly had 30 something thousand followers. And I was like, okay, like TikTok fame will hit you and you're just like, whoa, didn't expect you. And Instagram is more of like a slow grinding process where you have to put in the work and you're going to get the results. My jam though, where I get the most clientele, is Facebook.
I saw you have like 5,000 followers on Facebook and I just followed you. Tell me about Facebook.
I just feel like it just goes back to like being still authentic. Like, I am known for, let me disclaim this. I don't put anything about politics. I don't put anything about like controversial. I don't. I keep it very lighthearted. I sprinkle in business. It's probably 20% business, 80% me, my kids, you know, what we're doing, where we're going. And I've just really, by being consistent there, have built this following. I get messages all the time from people on Facebook that are like, oh, my dad is moving from Tulsa. You know, can you sell a house? Or we need an agent in California. Who do you know? And it's just by always showing up. They know they can count on me to post. They know they can count on me. I'm working or with my kids. And they reach out. I will say too, okay, so one thing I've noticed on Instagram is, you know how you can do the carousel and you can post like 10 different pictures or videos at a time? Do that. The more pictures you post, the longer you are keeping the person viewing on your feed, the more Instagram thinks, oh, wow, people are enjoying looking at the pictures Courtney's posting. Mm. And so they're going to push my content. The algorithm will push my content more because I'm keeping people on their app. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And I know that carousels have been big lately.
Yeah. I recommend posting more than one picture if you're going to post on Instagram. The other thing is on Facebook, I only post one picture. Very rarely am I going to post like five pictures or like a photo dump at the same time. I like to, it just to be one beautiful picture on Facebook. Capture the attention as they're scrolling their feed. They'll throw a comment or a like and then move on. I am strategic about how I do both.
Are there any people that you look to for kind of inspiration for how you are doing your posting? Like, I'm going to be looking to you. or are you pretty much just kind of going with your gut and what has worked in the past?
I'll be honest. There's nobody really that I'm like trying to emulate on social media. I go with my gut and I just am consistent with it. And it really has, I mean, so over 50% of my business is from Instagram and Facebook. I've never gotten a lead from TikTok. I mean, TikTok's fun. And I take the videos from TikTok and I put them across multiple platforms. But my leads do come from solely Facebook and Instagram sprinkling.
Wow. That's great. I've never had a single one.
Really? You will because I was looking at yours. Well, I saw that you had your YouTube channel, which is awesome. I should do a YouTube channel. That's really great. I don't know why I haven't done it yet. Do you like doing YouTube?
What I've found is that the more that when someone Googles your name, if you come up in multiple places and you need to, I think that you need to establish a certain amount of credibility, across platforms, and you never know exactly where someone's going to click. And I think that means that your bios have to be up to date on the different, you know, realtor.com. We have StreetEasy, which is owned by Zillow here, which is really the dominant platform here. And I think it's important to try to put yourself in the mind of the buyer. Like you're kind of vetting this person before you're going to hire them as a listing agent or work with them on the buy side. And then once they do follow you by posting, I've noticed that someone will reach out to me from that I haven't heard from a long time. And I've noticed that they recently liked a few of my posts. And I think that it's that they may have called someone else that they know. You know, you can easily lose people, and trying to stay in front of people is important, but it hasn't been a big business generation for me at this point, but I know that that's the way the industry is going. And I know that I have to do it. And there's a ton of blue sky up there for me, It's great to hear from you that you're getting 50% of your business from social.
You're going to start getting people the more consistent that you are on it. I feel like YouTube is a great place to be. To me, I mean, I don't know why I haven't done it, but I 100% agree. The people are going to Google and they're going to see like, oh, Courtney Hatfield, realtor, and see where am I popping up. I should do a YouTube.
Do you have your own website at this point, or do you rely on your brokerage for the website?
I'm working on our website. Yeah, we need to at this point. But I do use my brokers. Mm-hmm. But behind the scenes, I'm working on it.
Okay, great. I'm excited to see what you come up with.
I feel like it's so much like people, and I get that feeling like right now, people who don't know or use social media are like, oh my gosh, just like this, you know, I don't even know the word that I want to use. Like, it's like this, just this giant tumbleweed.
It's like a six-headed dragon that you have to conquer, right?
You say a dragon. Yeah, a dragon makes way more sense. I feel like it is. And you just don't know like where to start and what to do. And it's ever changing. And it's just like, okay, well, if you can hunker down on at least one or two platforms, really make one your niche. Facebook is mine. And that's where my stuff comes from. But you will find me on all other platforms in some capacity. I highly recommend putting your name, the fact that you're a real estate agent, and your phone number in every bio. Because that's the biggest mistake I see is people who get on and let's see, I go to your Instagram and you're like, I don't know, here, let me pull up your Instagram. I'm sure yours is perfect, but let me see here.
I don't know about perfect, but.
So you have your name, you have the fact that you're a real estate agent helping people in NYC find their homes since 2014. Literally, you have the contact button where you can click and you can hit your email or your phone number, and that's fantastic. So many people don't have any way of finding out what your phone number is. And it's like, well, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to dig that much if I can find somebody, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Or I see people on Facebook who have like a picture of their cat as their profile picture and a picture of the sunset as their cover photo. And it's like, I love sunsets in their bio. And you're like, do you sell real estate? You know, like, who are you? So you kind of have to be, your face is your brand. You have to sell yourself. You have to be likable, at least pretend you're likable. And then you have to have like people who view you as a friend, who think that they know you. And those are the biggest keys that have made me successful with social media leads.
You are very, I don't know how I would exactly say it, thorough. I heard on another podcast you were on that you, when you got licensed, you had a picture of your newly licensed paperwork, and you had sent that to everyone in your contact base.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm. And then you, right before we started recording, you told me about what your team is doing right now. Can you go into a little bit more detail about that?
Yeah. Yeah. So they are sitting in the next room over, and today is a sphere day. So what that is I brought in Chipotle, and everyone is sitting out there, and they're going through their contact list from A to Z, no skips. So they are literally going through every single person, calling or texting. I prefer calling. Some people aren't that comfortable with it, but you should be. And calling every single person and just saying, whether it's an old client, hey, how's your house going? You know, it's been 2 years. Can't believe you've been there for 2 years. Just wanted to touch base. If it's another agent, hey, the market's changing. Are you happy where you're at? You know, do they want to come over? You could also, and by come over, I mean come over to our brokerage, but you could also say, hey, I have buyers that are looking, you know, on the east side. Can you, if you have any listings coming up, can you just let me know? So you've got different conversation there. And then they have friends, like one agent texts her ex-boyfriend because he's in the list and there's no skips. So literally she was like, hey, I don't know if you know, but I sell real estate. And if you know anyone looking to buy or sell, she was like, what do you say to somebody who ghosted you? And I was like, tell him that even ghosts need houses to haunt. So like you have to just reach out. And we've had success with it already. We've already had somebody who say, you know what, I'm not happy with the current agent I'm using. Can we get together?
That's amazing.
Yeah. We had somebody who called and had a client that they were working with who kind of fell off the face of the planet, was an $800,000 buyer, which in Ohio, that's amazing. And he called and he's like, hey, it's been 2 years. Just wanted to see if you were still on the hunt. And he is. So they're going to get together. So it really does work. But just putting yourself through and not skipping a single person, because you just really never know.
That's amazing. Every single contact.
Every single one. Yeah. I called lenders. I was out there doing it with them. I'm not any better. So I was out there doing it with them, and I was calling, I spoke with a lender who had just switched companies they were with, who wants to get together and chat with our team. You know, it's just like everybody has these lives and you lose track. So you want to touch base and be their friend.
The piece that you said about the person not being very happy with their agent, that just happened to me. And I wasn't even trying for it, but it was just someone who showed up at a listing and they said, well, you seem very professional. And they asked me, do I have to work with the person I'm working with? I said, it was a very odd moment. I said,
you
get to decide who you work with, you know? And then they, you know, I didn't even realize that they were sort of asking me. And then at the end they said, can I have your card? I said, yeah, of course. Aww. You know, but it was just an odd moment. And I thought, you know, I really need to be a little bit more aggressive, just, you know, not aggressive, but I need to let people know.
Yeah.
I work with buyers like you every day, and you know, because I do.
Yeah. Not, you don't want to be pushy. I feel like a lot of agents are that way, and it's not really being pushy. I mean, you're providing them value, and you don't know how happy they are at the end of the day with the agent they have, or are they even working with an agent? So it never hurts to just be like, are you working with anyone? Do you like them? Do you mesh? You know, don't step on toes if they are, but like if they're not, you provide value. That's what we're here for.
Do you do anything with, I've heard this from a lot of other agents, and I'm curious if you do anything like this, but like 1 year anniversaries when people buy, or doing sort of like market updates specific to a person's house, like saying, oh, it's been 3 years since you bought and your house may have, you know, appreciated, or that sort of thing. Do you do any like of that kind of, like, what is your ongoing marketing with closed sellers or buyers?
So from what we do, so from the very beginning, when we show our clients and we get under contract, from the time we're under contract, we send boxes, tape, and markers to that client's house. And so that begins our, you know, our first step of customer service. Then when they close, I know a lot of people do closing gifts. I just always say, I'm going to send you dinner on moving day. And so I always DoorDash, or sometimes I'll deliver if I don't have appointments and I'm able to, I will deliver dinner to them on moving day. And it varies. I mean, some people want like McDonald's and some people are like, oh yeah, we want steak from a restaurant, you know, like everybody uh-huh. has different. And to me, in total, you know, I'm going to spend, I spend $40 on boxes and tape. I ship them from Amazon to their house. And then I spend maybe $50 to $100 on their dinner. So out the door, I'm at maybe $150. Then from there, we send texts saying, you know, thank you for working with us and asking for the review verbiage. We also send an email asking for review verbiage. And then there's no like set time that I reach back out, but I reach back out in the following weeks and just say, how'd everything go with the move?
That's smart.
And then after that, I do reach out on their 1 year anniversary. And a lot of the time I will post a picture and I like to befriend all of my clients on Instagram or Facebook. And I will honestly tag them and be like, oh my gosh, it's been a year. Can you believe that? And that gives me content to post. It shows I'm popping back up into their lives, you know, tagging them. It shows them that I care and I remember. And then just like little things throughout the year. Just the other week, clients of mine from 2 years ago had a new baby. And so I text her and I was like, congratulations, can I send you dinner? And she wanted Jimmy John's. And so I sent Jimmy John's to their house. And it's just little things like that, because I know when that baby grows up a little bit, they're going to be out of room and they're going to need to move again. Mm-hmm. And so I remember the house that they bought. It was tiny. It was small. Like they're going, all the baby toys, I just don't even know where they're going to put them all. So they're going to come back to me. I just sprinkle in every now and then whenever I see something going on. I just had clients too that were looking for sponsors for their son's baseball team. And it was $300. And so I just was like, okay, I'll sponsor. I'll be on the shirts. I'll come to some games, you know, and it's like they're going to remember me that, hey, our real estate agent sponsored, you know, little Owen's baseball game.
That's great. That's great.
Little things like that that you sprinkle in. And, you know, yeah, sure, it's $300. But at the end of the day, how many people are going to see my name and logo on the back of those jerseys?
I think that could be the best $300 you spent besides the $40 for the boxes. I love the boxes. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's just a little, like your customer service begins, okay, so you're showing them all the houses, they get under contract, they're excited. You're like, okay, I'm going to send you boxes and tape and markers. And you get on Amazon, and I literally get like a 10-pack of boxes. It comes with two rolls of tape and a pack of markers, and it's like $40.
That's,
and I just have Amazon deliver it.
Yeah.
So it takes it really automated a lot of it, because I used to go out and get like gift cards and, you know, candles and baskets and like create these giant elaborate closing gifts. And it's like, no, I'm going to send them dinner because I would want somebody to send me dinner on moving day. I don't want to think about it. And then after that, we send our review verbiage. And then after that, we just touch base whenever we see something going on. Really try and befriend everybody on Facebook.
Definitely. I've also found LinkedIn. Do you use LinkedIn at all?
Not probably as much as I should.
I've found
For me, I feel like LinkedIn is very much like a colleague site. Do you feel like you have a lot of clients that look at it?
I think I do. Sorry, got a little bit of a honking situation.
That's right.
But yeah, I find that people either use it a lot or don't use it at all. And so I'm going to reach like 8% of my clients that way. But those clients aren't going to be the ones that have Instagram, really Facebook, anything else.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, why not? You know, it's the same. I won't do the more like jokey content. I'll do the more like serious market mm-hmm. update stuff, but I think it can be good. But yeah, I don't know. You could think about it, but it might be a different, maybe it's a more like, maybe it's a New York-y thing. I don't really know.
Yeah. I have to pick your brain on it. I don't know really all that much about it. I know some people use it, but I just always felt like it was more for just kind of finding like, I don't know, colleagues and employees and things like that, new hires versus clients.
A lot of agents don't use it. And so you can kind of stand out a bit. Just if you're the one agent that's just posting, you know, once a week on it and, you know. So that's, I don't know, you might want to think about it.
Absolutely. I feel like social media is like its own job honestly, but it's free and it works. So everybody should be using it.
It really is. And it's hard to, I think it's easier on a team because you can sort of come up with a bit of a recipe and say, hey, I'm doing this. I know it works. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, you know, just right. do this and this and this. But if you're like a solo agent and you're trying to run your business and then you're trying to grow your business mm-hmm. and then you're trying to, you know, it can just be that extra thing that you always feel like you should do, but you never actually do, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is a dragon, but it's so worth it. It really is worth it. When, you know, you get your first lead from social media, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, it's working.
Yeah, that's great. Let's see. I have just a couple more questions for you. I know you have a busy day where you have to call every single person.
I know. I was literally texting people like, I don't know if you know me, but I have you on my phone for some reason.
Are there any books that you've read or, you know, like anything that's been kind of, had a big impact on your business that you like wouldn't have expected?
Yes. Let me grab it real quick. I have my books, some of my favorite books right here. Okay. Marie Forleo, I think is how you say it. Everything is Figure Outable. Pretty much overcoming any objection. Everything is figure outable.
I love that. I've never heard of it.
Oh, I highly recommend it. I love that. And then I also love, which you can't go wrong with, Barbara Corcoran. Mm. You just can't. She's hilarious. And this is what I was reading when I was starting my team. And it was just kind of like, if Barbara can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, you know? That's great. You do have Barbara Corcoran vibes for sure.
Do I? Oh, I love her. That's like on my bucket list. I'd love to meet her. I'd probably be starstruck. I wouldn't even know. But yeah, those are probably some of my favorite. Do you ever read Ryan Serhant books?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually just a couple of days ago was just an event with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did his pro program that he offers. Nice. And it was great. Ryan's great.
He's a great speaker. And the cool thing about him is when you go to something with him and you hear him give a little speech, it's just like he's on TV. Like there's no ums, there's no pauses. He's very eloquent and he's a great speaker and he has really good content.
Yeah, he does. And he does out of the box ideas too. And mm-hmm. I can relate to that. I do have the Big Money Energy book, his Big Money Energy, but I did love Sell It Like Serhant. I just feel like that was, like he talks in it about the finder, keeper, and doer time and how your job as an agent is broken into different segments where you find your business, you keep your business, and then you do the administrative tasks that come along with your business. And it really, in starting a team, helped me build the foundation of how I wanted to operate the team. And so I highly recommend his, mm-hmm. that Sell It Like Serhant.
That's great. Well, thanks for that. Yeah. And Barbara, I was actually with Corcoran for 5 years, the Corcoran.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Group. And then I moved over to Compass, but yeah, it has a really nice, she set up a really nice culture in that company that really lasted for years after she, you know, sold the company to Realogy and everything. So yeah, really great.
It's so important. The culture on a team is so important. You don't want, like, one bad apple can honestly ruin the entire thing, and you don't want that. So we have such a great culture here at the brokerage, and I've carried that over into the team. And I just feel like it really sets you up for success. It just does. If everybody is, you know, on the same page, I don't let complaining go on. I don't let negative attitudes and mindsets go on. Like, if you have enough energy to complain about it, you have enough energy to fix it.
I like that. So 5 years from now, Courtney Hatfield has been doubling every year. Let's say, 20, you know, maybe this year we'll allow you to only increase by 20 or 30%. But that would be what? I don't know. 1,000 homes a year. That you're
transacting.
But you know, in all seriousness, where do you want to be? And do you even think about goals in terms of, you know, 5 years out from now, or is it, is that too far? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely think in 5 years, I, will be in Florida. We are working on opening in Florida. My brokerage is down there now. They just opened in Fort Myer. And so I'm really hoping to bring the team down there within the next year. And then from there, I would like to expand to Pennsylvania and also Texas. So I definitely see growth in the future. One of the best things I did was I did hire an assistant at the end of last year, just because I felt like I had to scale. It was all just like on my shoulders. And so I felt like, okay, now I just reached the point where I was like, okay, I need help. I need an assistant. I need to scale, you know, my personal responsibilities. That way I can focus on growth. So bringing her on as kind of my assistant and our team manager has really helped me be able to focus on getting my Florida license and how do I want to structure that. And then I'll probably figure out what works, what doesn't, and replicate it for Pennsylvania and hopefully Texas too.
That's really exciting.
I'm excited.
Well, any particular markets that you're having trouble, you know, getting in, I'd be happy to make, you know, some connections or that. That's so exciting that you're trying to, you know, to branch out there. That's great. Well, I look forward to it. I'm sure that that's going to happen sooner rather than later. How is the Florida? Yeah. I've heard the Florida exam is actually one of the hardest ones in the country. Is it hard?
So I haven't taken it yet. I just finished my classes, so I need to take it still. We'll have to circle back. We'll have to circle back in a year and see how
it sounds. Good. Or maybe 6 months. This has been really, yeah, really fun. It's I feel like things move fast with you. So
they do. I wouldn't have it any other way though. I feel like there's so much life to achieve and there's enough sun for all of us to shine. So I'm going out and doing it again.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to mention is if there's an agent in your area, it sounds like you have a pretty good radius. Should they reach out to you? Who are you looking? I know you're looking to grow your team, but who's your perfect agent to join the team?
I would love to find more people who are like-minded, who are hardworking, know that you get what you work for, not afraid to reach out and talk to new people, call new people, make connections, and just really somebody with a positive attitude. How you wake up, the attitude you start your day with, I think it's vital to who you are, to being, you know, a successful person. I also prefer people who don't wallow, people who aren't like natural complainers. I just think it's important. Your mindset's everything. You set yourself up for success.
I think it's sort of like when if you're doing anything, if you're shooting a basketball shot and you think, I'm probably not going to make it. Well, yes, the chances you're going to make it literally go down just by thinking that.
100%.
So, you know, I think that you do have to, and especially in this job where everything is so speculative. Everything has to go right in order for the transaction to go through. So you really have to be optimistic. Otherwise, you know, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure, I think.
100%. I think you have to just have that drive and think, okay, well, if it's not this one, it's the next one. You know, if you didn't get that house, we're going to find you another one. If that client doesn't want to work with you, there's 100 more in the sea. You know, you can't just be bogged down because of 5 minutes of a day that went wrong. You need to say, well, how can I get up and change this?
And you have to be that cheerleader sometimes for the client because they're, you know, they're thinking from more of a defensive position. Well, what if we lose the house? What if we lose this? What if it doesn't work out? And those are rational things for the client to think because, you know, they have a lot on the line. But if they feel that fear coming from their agent or that feeling of desperation or that it's not going to work out, then that's contagious. They're going to get it. And then they're just going to ultimately keep renting or they're not going to, you know, there's a cost to them not doing a transaction too, which is they're not getting what they want or they're not. So, you know, it is a hard line between not being like a kind of a, like a Pollyanna and like a, just, you know, everything's fine. And, you know, you don't want to just do that either, but you also need to be positive. So Anyway.
100%. Yeah. That's that overall, I mean, who you are an accumulation of the people you spend your time with, you know, and I want to be surrounded by the best.
Well, great. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of your, you know, all of your tips, giving away all of your secrets.
I'm going to, hold on, say cheese.
Oh,
geez. I'm putting in my Instagram story.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we were doing that, so I might have a
Oh, you look like you're smiling. That's okay.
Good. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and I look forward to having you back on to hear how everything else is going.
Amazing. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Courtney.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Top Broker Podcast. If you have a question, comment, or would like to suggest a guest for the show, send me an email at phil@topbrokerpodcast.com. I'll see you next time.